Dear friends of Jesus Christ, someone made an observation that I thought very helpful. This person said that during the Christmas season, we celebrate God with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. During Holy Week, with Good Friday, Easter, the resurrection and the ascension, we celebrate God for us. And so, for instance, the Nicene Creed says, for us and for our salvation, the Son of God became human, became a servant, obedient unto death, for us. Now, it's Pentecost, and during Pentecost, and the ordinary days or extraordinary days that follow Pentecost, we celebrate God through us. Jesus, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, says to the disciples that they will be given power when they receive the Holy Spirit, and that will empower them to become witnesses for him in Jerusalem, and then in all of Judea and Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. God through them. So God with us, God for us, and God through us. God through us. It sounds to me, at least, a relationship that is dynamic, that is participatory. And on Pentecost Sunday, we gather and we pray and hope that the Spirit's power, the Spirit's presence, to which Pentecost testifies, and about which so many people speak, that same power, that same Spirit, will come among us and touch us and empower us. And one of the questions that all of us, I suppose, have is how do we tap into this unleashing of God's Spirit on Pentecost? And what would it look like if we received the Holy Spirit? If the Spirit came upon us as it did on Pentecost Sunday? Well, Pentecost as a holy day, as a holy feast day, was already a feast day in Israel before our Pentecost. Pentecost was one of the three big feasts. It was the Jewish feast that celebrated, well, two things primarily. It celebrated the beginning of harvest, the coming in of the first fruits. And it celebrated over time the fact that Moses had come down from Mount Sinai with the law of God. Pentecost as a word means 50, and as a harvest, it was 50 days after Pentecost. As far as Sinai and the coming of God's law, it was 50 days after the people had left Egypt. Anyway, so there's Pentecost. And the city is full of Jews from all over the world to celebrate this day of harvest, this day of God's law. Now, Scripture tells us it was when Pentecost had come, when this holiday was in process, that there was this gathering of 120 folks who had been followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, in chapter 1, some of them are described as those who had been with Jesus since he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Anyway, after Jesus had promised them the Spirit who would empower them, they had been gathering in Jerusalem for worship, for prayer, expectantly, right? If you had asked, what exactly are you expecting? That they might have been hard-pressed to have given us an answer. But they are waiting. Their hearts are open. They are ready to be obedient. And then Scripture tells us, in very few verses, what happened. Suddenly, verse 2, from heaven, there came a sound like a rush, like the rush of a violent wind. You know, and obviously it wasn't a violent wind. It just sounded like a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now the fact that the presence of the Spirit is linked to wind is a no-brainer in a sense, because wind is breath, wind is power, and the Spirit is the source of all life and gives power and upholds all things by its power. So there's the filling of the house with this sound that was like the rush of a violent wind, and then divided tongues as a fire, so not actual fire, but as a fire, purifying. Divided tongues appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Now, the fact that the tongue also speaks significantly about the nature of this community that is to receive the Spirit. And that is, of course, that they are to be communicators. They are to be communicators. And what's so interesting is that the tongue is to be on, is on each of the 120 who are gathered there. It's not only for the guy with the mic. It's for everyone. And later on, when the Apostle Peter begins his explanation as to what's gone on here, he makes the point that the Spirit was already promised by Joel to come on the young and the old, men and women, slaves and free. There was to be this great inclusiveness, right? So that's it. That's the story. And we're told then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So in verses 2, 3, and 4, you have a description of the birth of the church as we know it. And I've been thinking how brief that is. And it reminded me of Easter, how brief there too the description of the resurrection is. It's so brief. It simply says, here's what happened, and then from there, all manner of things flow. But here's what happened. They were gathered there, and there was the sound as like a great wind and these tongues of fire. And we are, in some ways, included in what was unleashed back there 2,000 years ago. And it is, when you think about it, absolutely staggering that it's not only you and I, but perhaps 2 billion others who trace their origins back to this event. Now, what I want to do very briefly is to ask ourselves, this event created, or at least gave shape to the church. It equipped the church. And what I want to ask is what among other things should characterize the church? And to help us in understanding it, I bought a magnifying glass. Because if it is, as I think it is, that Pentecost celebrates God through us, then God through us would have us as a magnifying glass. And with a magnifying glass, two things happen. One thing, obvious from the name magnify, enlarge, it enlarges. That people who have received the Holy Spirit are like a magnifying glass in that they magnify the name of Jesus. They enlarge him so that those who are hard of seeing or hard of hearing and have poor eyesight can understand this Jesus Christ. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples that he will send them, when he leaves, he will send them the Spirit, and the Spirit will lead them into all truth. Now, that's not mathematical truth. That's not, chemistry truth. The truth of what Jesus has done, namely that he began a new creation, the kingdom of heaven. That the Spirit would help us make clear to us what it meant to be saved. But the Spirit was to bear testimony, was to magnify Christ in the life of the church. I mean, it is really quite remarkable that later on in this passage, what happens is all these different folks from all these different tongues gather around and they say, how is it that we in our own languages are hearing them speak about God's deeds of power? Now that little phrase, deeds of power, really it's a Greek word that speaks about remarkable works or extraordinary works. So what these disciples were talking about in all these different languages was the mighty works of God in Jesus Christ. They were not giving us a long, elaborate teaching. They were not announcing some mighty things that people had done. The message is what God has done in Christ. I mean, basically, as often pointed out, there are two religions. In the one religion says, here's what you must do if you want to be saved. The other religion says, here's what God has done to have you saved. And the Christian faith is a religion that underscores not what we have done, but what God has done. It is always what God has done. Our hope is in what God has done in Jesus Christ. That is true for every last one of us. When we bury our beloved ones, our hope is in what God has done in Jesus Christ. He has taken away sins. He has conquered death. He will not let death conquer us. So the first thing that a church that truly experiences the presence of the Spirit is a church that magnifies, that enlarges Jesus Christ. The second thing that a magnifying glass does, and I don't think many people use it for that purpose because there are other ways to start a fire, but magnifying glasses can be used to start fires. This is quite remarkable. I tested it. I bought this thing yesterday, and I tested it, and sure enough, it is true. You hold this to the sun, and you know what this does? It is as if it concentrated, pulled together the rays of the sun into a tight beam. A beam that if you did it on your arm would burn and hurt very much. Someone once said that the incarnation was God's magnifying glass, where Christ in the flesh concentrated all the glory, all the promises of God into this one person, and that those who came in contact with him were burned. They came alive. You see? And so when we see ourselves as the church, God through us, he works through us to magnify the name of Jesus, and he works through us to set our hearts on fire, to set this community's heart on fire. The fires of faith, deep, strong faith. Oh God, give us your Spirit to set on fire fires of love. A love that is intense and focused. To set on fire fires of hope. So that in a world that is dangerous, beyond all understanding, dangerous and precarious, a world that will take each of us down. In that world, light within us, the fires of hope, all that. So that we, leaving this place, may be fires of faith, hope, and love as the Spirit works in us. You know, sometimes I see you sitting, as I stand here, and I think of yourself as being in a position as worshipers, with your hearts bared, longing for the grace, for the power of the Spirit to bring the grace and the accomplishments of Christ into our midst, so that we may be set on fire, so that our children may be warmed by those fires and in turn become alive to faith and hope and love. You know, we're going to install elders and deacons, the council. The council's job is to make sure that as a magnifying glass, we remain unspotted, that we remain whole, so that when there are cracks in the glasses, it distorts the beam. And so the elders and deacons are in some sense commissioned to keep ministering among us in such a way that we are that magnifying lens that magnifies the name of Jesus and that starts the fires of hope and love and faith. May God bless us towards that end. May we always gather as families, as individuals, as congregation. May we always gather as this magnifying glass, so that the power of the Spirit can come through us and into the world, magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.